Anointing in our lives that makes all the difference. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and it couldn't be a more beautiful day. It is absolutely gorgeous here. Nan is with me for the first segment here, and then Carol's going to join us, Bill, about 4:30, and then she'll just stay on, all right? Carol from Georgia. We look forward to hearing from her. We haven't heard from her for a little while. She's been very busy. And wild day. I started to ask a question, but I couldn't remember what I was going to ask. And I'm still recovering from such a wild day at Beacon of Hope today, Nan.
That's just wild.
It was wild.
You should have been there, Brother Bill. It was wild.
I thought about it, but I was... Hustling and shuffling and hustling.
All right, well...
I almost had a bait shop on the line, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then I got to her, and I thought, you know what it was? I was supposed to be there at 9 o'clock Friday morning.
Right.
I got there at 9:21. She left at 9:20.
Oh, so you missed that appointment.
She was interested in doing a contract and everything. And then I went back next day, today, and... It just didn't
happen. So you should have been at church. So,
Brother Bill, I make an offer to you.
You make an offer to me?
Some Sunday you want to go, I will come to your place and pick you up.
Oh.
And I don't just go around doing that.
She gives me Dr. Pepper's diet.
I know she does. She's really good about that. So we're so excited about today's show. It's going to be fantastic. And the glory of God was so strong today, Nan, in our service that... It was just wild because God showed up in such a mighty way and worked in so many lives and setting people free, healing their bodies. And, the shout of victory was all over Beacon of Hope today.
It sure was. If you weren't there, you missed it.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, wild. And, then we, tell them where we went right after that. So we have just been running all day, haven't we?
We went to, Palm Gardens, which is a nursing home we go to the first Sunday of each month.
Right.
And we have a church service there for about 45 minutes and it is a blast. I mean, the people get to know us. We get to know them. We sing with them and sing with them and a little word is spoken for them and, It's so rewarding.
It is
just so rewarding to go and have service with them too.
Exactly.
And that's what it is. It's a church service for them. And one of the ladies who works there told us that they like our church best of all the ones that come. God just carries it on into our service, into theirs. So
yes, and it is. The nurses are around and listening, and they're gathered at the window. And I don't know, it was a powerful day today. You know, they watch from the window, Bill, some of the nurses from their radio, from their nurses' station. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, while you're talking in there, some people may not know what I'm doing, and I listen to the song to get ready to mix it in like, you know, you're doing your Casey
Kasem. Exactly.
Well, you're talking and I just bring it under real smoothly.
There
right?
you go.
I will tell you, this next song that she will play, let me tell you, I like it. It
yeah.
sounds like a hit.
It is. It's a really cool song by Mike's Chair. We're going to get there in just a second. But
Pastor,
so,
one thing I want to share that you're not aware of. I saw a lady standing out who was an employee there and singing.
Yes.
And I felt I was supposed to go out and
at the nursing home.
Yes, at the nursing home. And I went up to her and I said hi, and she looked at me and she said, I'm singing in my native language. And she was singing the songs in French. And she shared how she was taken to church as a young girl. And so she was standing there singing the songs that we were singing in French, and she knew all of them.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that was so cool.
Oh, my. That is powerful. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there were so many of the residents at Palm Gardens today that, that some of them were so weak in their wheelchairs they couldn't open their eyes, but yet they were singing. And that was such a blessing to me. Some of those women just really blessed me tremendously today. So we just came from there, and here we are live on the air. And so we're glad you've joined us today. We have been for several weeks talking about harvest hands in the end time and what God wants to do. Harvest hands for the kingdom of God. And so we are going to the book of Joshua today. So if you have a Bible, why don't you find that and kind of get ready? And we are going to start this first segment with a song that Bill likes, and it's by a group called Mike's Chair, which is an interesting name for a group. But the name of the song is wild. Keep Changing the World.
Something here is wrong. There are children without homes, but we just move along to take care of our own. There's so much suffering just outside our door. A cry so deafening, oh, we just can't ignore. To all the people who are fighting for the broken, all the people who keep holding on to love, all the people who are reaching for the lonely, keep changing the world. Take a look around before the sun goes out. What's lost can still be found. It's not too late now. It only takes one spark to make the fire burn. So reach inside your heart and let this be the start.
Keep changing the world. That's what it's all about in this end time move of God's Holy Spirit. It is all about changing the world right where you are. And God is calling people to be harvest hands in this end time, which means be the vessels that God can use to help others find Jesus. And that's what it's all about. And Nan, I'm going to pick on you for a minute here before we get to Joshua. Why don't you all try to find Joshua chapter 5? Because I've only got you here for a few minutes. So I want to pick on you a minute, because a few weeks back, you said to God you would be willing to talk to people. And just share a little bit about what's been happening since you made that decision. It was a heartfelt decision you made.
It really came from my heart. It wasn't anything I tried to think up. It just came from within. And since that time, I mean, God has opened so many doors. I mean, within 1 week, I wound up, and I view this there again as break times, I wound up praying with two different people in my office, one lady in the parking lot where I work. And just walking in this almost attitude of love, God's love,
right,
wanting to share the joy with them. And it's like, just everything, you know, everyone always goes around the office, it's really a tough day. We're having a rough day today. And what I've been saying to everybody, and this has become my pat answer, is like, you know, it is really rough today, but you know what? I'm praying a lot these days. And some of them kind of look at me funny. And I say, you know what happens? I'm getting closer to God because I'm praying through what's going on. And so I have probably said that to probably 20 or 30 people I work with. And of course, you know the way offices are. It's probably gone through everyone that this crazy secretary is over here praying about all that's happening, you know?
But you're seeing things work out in difficult situations.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what we are to do as Harvest Hands in the end time is to be so sensitive to God's Holy Spirit that when He lays somebody on our heart to pray for, or when He opens a door that we can talk to somebody, He expects us to walk through that open door. And a lot of times we don't because of fear, because of what will they think if I ask them, you know, if I can pray with them or whatever. But Harvest Hands are supposed to be out there bringing in that harvest.
Right. Well, I have kind of a somewhat strong personality just as being
really?
Man. I know you didn't
really?
Know that.
Didn't know that. Did you know that, Bill?
Did you know
that she had a strong personality, did you?
She is a strong personality person, and I must say, if Beacon of Hope Ministries ever has a yard sale,
right,
she would be an excellent auctioneer.
We'll keep that in mind, Bill.
Because she talks very fast, very clearly, and it's very powerful, just like you.
Oh, you're so sweet. So, yes, we'll keep that in mind, that maybe she can have that job someday. Thank you.
You know, Pastor, Brother Bill, I'd like to thank you for something he just said at the end. He said very powerful. And I think that's how, you know, people maybe who are listening right now who say, you know, God, I just want to be able to reach out to someone, but I'm kind of shocked. I mean, I'm kind of, when this first started happening, was like, I don't know. But it was like, each time it's gotten easier.
Yes.
And I know that it's the power of God.
Amen.
Within me.
That's what
that
it is.
That is rising up within me.
That is so what it
getting past
is.
Me
right.
so that He can come through with the love that He wants to come through to those people, that He opens up the doors. You know, He's opening the doors.
He talked to me a couple times this week. I was standing in line at Walmart.
God talked to you?
Yeah, there was a lady with like her three kids. They were like teenagers.
Okay.
And what happened was, is I'm sitting there, standing there, waiting in line, and they had like 20 gallons of paint, and they were going to paint out, you know, and they're all laughing and giggling, and guys like, see there? That's what you can spend your time on. That's what you can focus on.
Right.
And not focus on other things.
Right.
That's what you're missing out on.
Yeah, there you go. So God was speaking to you.
Thank you, Lord.
So they were doing something with 20 gallons of paint, so praise God. That's great. All right. God has a way of meeting us right where we are. That's what I think you're trying to say. That's what Bill just said. Go ahead.
Right. You're right. I mean, wherever you are. You know, mm-hmm. some people might say, okay, let's use an example. I'm not as powerful as you are, Pastor Marcia, because look at you, and you've been in ministry for 30 years, and look at the impact you have. But, you know, you weren't always there,
no.
if we want to consider it there. And that's not the way you look at it, because I know your heart. God knows where each of us are.
Exactly.
And God can use us exactly where we are.
Exactly.
And there's times that He, if you will, promotes us into other types of levels of ministry.
Right.
But He can use each one of us right where we are if we are having a willing heart. And if we will rely on Him for the strength and direction we need to move forward.
That's exactly it. And that is a perfect segue. None of that was planned. Joshua chapter 5. And we want to start with about verse 10. The people of Israel continued to camp at Gilgal. They celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the plains of Jericho. Right away, the day after the Passover. Now, what is so significant about that day? That's the day that Jesus went to the cross, Passover. He was the Passover lamb. So this is very significant. The day after the Passover. So spiritually for us, the day after Jesus went to that cross, everything changed for all of creation. Because Jesus willingly went to the cross, gave up His life, and took all of our sins and our sicknesses on His body. So it's interesting to me in Joshua 5, and of course this was a long time before Jesus was going to go to the cross. The children of Israel started eating the produce of that country the day after Passover, okay? Unraised bread, roasted grain, and then they realized no more manna. See, God had provided for them in the 40 years that they walked around the same mountain. He had provided food for them every single day in the form of manna, which was kind of a honey taste, and I don't know what else, but it was something that they ate every single day. God provided it. The manna stopped the day after the Passover. in our spiritual lives, the day that we really understand what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection, then we move into a different level with him. Okay. Now, here's what they started doing. Suddenly, they were eating food grown in the land, and there was no more manna for the people of Israel. And they ate all these good things, and they ate from the crops of Canaan. And as harvest hands, here is the point. God wants us to eat the best of the land. You and Nathan were on the show last week, Nan, when we talked about Isaiah 119, that if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. And it becomes a matter of obedience, you know? And as harvest hands, what is interesting here in this passage of scripture, let's look at verse 13 and we're going to see it. That as this change came about, now, we all resist change. We'd rather just stay doing everything the way we've always done it. And, you know, hey, this is the way I've done it. My mother did it this way and her mother did it this way. And God says, whoa, no, no, no. Change is a good thing. These people had walked around the same mountain for 40 years and ate the same meal all the time. That's not fun.
Mm-mm.
Change was a good thing.
For them it was.
For all of us, it is. But we don't think that when we're having to be forced to change. So anyway, here they are. And Joshua was near the city of Jericho. He looked up and saw right in front of him. Now, Joshua is the replacement for Moses. He's Moses' replacement, and Joshua was 80 years old when he took over for Moses. Moses was 80 years old when he began to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Interesting point. 8, by the way, is the number of resurrection and new life. So Joshua's 80 years old. He must have been reinvigorated and full of new life. So Joshua is kind of hanging out near Jericho, wondering what God's going to have him do about the city of Jericho. Okay. And so immediately there is an absolute wild thing that happens to Jericho. Joshua, he looks up and he says, oh my gosh, who is this? You know, and he asks this figure that appears before him. He said, whose side are you on? Are you on ours or the enemy's? And this person says, neither. I'm commander of God's army. I've just arrived. Now, a lot of people believe this is what we call in scripture a Christophany, which is an appearance of Christ in another form, which happened during the Old Testament days. There were different times that Jesus would appear. Christ would appear. There's several times, but I won't even go into that. It's another teaching. Anyway, here's the commander of God's army. And Joshua falls right on his face to the ground and worships. So, you know, the reason a lot of people believe this was Jesus in this form is because I don't believe Joshua would have been worshiping, an angel or something like that, a created being. This was God Almighty. And he said, what does my master, and he even calls this person, his master. What does my master have for his servant? Hmm. So we would not be the servant of an angel, which is another reason that this is probably Jesus himself. And what's happened here is there has been an unexpected encounter with God Almighty. Joshua, because of his obedience, even at 80 years old, to take over the children of Israel in place of Moses, because of his obedience, look what's happened. He has had a visitation from God Almighty.
Cool.
He's had an encounter. Mm. Wow. And so he says, what do you want me to do? And here's what is said to him. Take your sandals off your feet. The place you are standing is holy. And Joshua obeyed. He did it.
He obeyed.
He obeyed.
He obeyed.
There we go again.
Cool. Obey.
Harvest hands have got to humble themselves. And really, by taking off his shoes, this is an act of humility and obedience. And he is simply having an encounter with God. Now, I propose that that very encounter happened right before the conquest of Jericho for a reason. Because God knew that he was going to do this huge miracle in the city of Jericho. And in order for Joshua to hear God correctly and carry out the directions, he had to have a fresh encounter with God. Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
Woo. Don't we need a fresh encounter with God all the time?
Yes, we do.
I mean, because without that, we become stale, you know? We become kind of yesterday's news, you know? If we don't have fresh manna or fresh rhema word from God, if God is not speaking new things to us, we just go over and over the same old thing. Go ahead.
You know, I did share on the radio show when I was on it, but you know, I turned 50 September 1st. I had the most awesome encounter with God that I've ever had in my entire life, ever. I have not been the same
on your
since
birthday.
On my birthday. He gave me an awesome birthday gift.
Yes.
And it was just such an encounter with him that it has literally changed. And you know that. You
yes.
can see that. Has changed my
You're
life.
You're not the same person you
I'm
were.
Not the same person, praise God.
Because he came and he met with you.
He met with me.
Which reminds me of what he did with Sarah. Remember, it says that he came and met with Sarah at the tent door. You know, I love that, you
yes.
know, and when God comes and talks to you and you hear his voice and you're receptive, then you have the direction for where you're going next.
And then you got to be obedient.
And then you got to be obedient. But I find it very interesting that Joshua, when the commander of the Lord's army, Jesus, said to Joshua, take off your sandals. The place you're standing is holy. I find it very interesting that Joshua did not argue. He did not say, wait a minute, I don't want to do that right now. I got other things I got to do. I mean, there's, you know, I've got all these people to lead and I don't know what we're going to do about that great big city, Jericho right there. What, I don't know what's going to happen. You don't see Joshua arguing with God at all. It just simply says Joshua did it.
If we could take example from that and do that all the time. There's a few times I've felt, Lord, when we do something, and I've questioned him.
Sure.
I've questioned him.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not going to say, I'm not perfect in that. But, you know, it's so much simpler just to
It's so much simpler to obey, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And God is calling us, from that first song we did, God is calling us to change the world around us. And it requires obedience. And it requires us listening to God. So let's go on in Joshua 6 and see what happened. Jericho was shut up very tight, tight as a drum, because the people of Israel, nobody was coming in or going out because the fear of the Israelites had spread to all of these nations in Canaan. And Jericho was one of those. And Jericho was getting ready to have a visitation by God Almighty in a very unique way.
Oh, yes.
And it was Joshua's part to obey. It was Joshua's part to trust God. And I propose that studying the story of Jericho really starts a few verses above that, where Joshua had this encounter with the commander of the army, Jesus Christ,
right,
our Lord and Savior. And so when he had this encounter, and when Joshua just obeyed, took his sandals off and said, okay, it's holy ground, you know, I find it fascinating because immediately God thrusts Joshua into this huge situation. How are we going to conquer Jericho? What are we going to do about Jericho? It's huge. It's got huge walls. In fact, history tells us it had two sets of walls. There was like an airspace in between, but two big sets of walls. These walls were so thick that they could ride chariots on them.
Wow. That's
I mean,
a wall.
Now this is a big wall.
That's a wall.
Okay. And so here we are, here Joshua is, and he is like, what are we going to do here? So he immediately realizes that God is going to speak to him and tell him what to do. And I think I'm in about verse 2. God spoke to Joshua, and he said, see, you have the King James there. Do you want to read 1 through 5 there, Nan, of Joshua chapter 6 verses 1 through 5?
Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall be, shall ascend upon every man straight before him.
Wow. I mean, that is a mighty thing for God to say to Joshua. Here's what you're going to do. And you're not going to take the city by force as far as military force. That wasn't even involved at all. You're going to take the city the way I tell you to take the city.
Well, you know, he was obedient by what he did the previous chapter, which was shared with us. And so the Lord is, we're, like you said, we're responsible for being obedient.
Yes.
God come through and just let him know, here's what you need to do. And then he needs to continue in that obedience.
He's got to continue.
But at the end, everything comes out the way it's supposed to.
Exactly. But it's interesting that this is such an unconventional way to take a city. I mean, no general in U.S. history has ever taken a city by just marching around it and, you know, the priest blowing a horn.
Right.
You know, this is a very unusual way to do it. But it was God's, it was God's plan. That's the whole thing. And with this whole teaching on Harvest Hands, it is all about us finding God's plan for our individual lives and finding God's plan for our daily activities. And that's why I wanted you to share a little bit, Nan, because you're getting this down on the inside. You've walked with the Lord a long time. You and your ex-husband were, you know, youth leaders and pastors and things like that. You've walked with the Lord a long time. So you are aware that it takes listening to the voice of the Lord. And not everybody can just immediately discern the
right.
voice of the Lord. It takes experience. It takes practice.
It takes
and it takes being willing to step out there in steps of faith sometimes when you feel like God said something to you.
When you said steps of faith, they're, again, as they teach in lots of different things in business, baby steps with everything.
Baby steps.
You know, and sometimes people might get discouraged because,
right.
well, you're hearing from God all the time, but I don't feel like God's speaking to me.
Right.
But it just, as we learn and grow in Him, we will hear more from Him. And
absolutely.
We'll learn more how to listen to Him. It doesn't just happen overnight.
It doesn't.
In most cases, it doesn't.
It takes reading the Word. It takes learning to really pray and talk to God. So many people feel like God isn't listening to them, but He is. He's listening to everything that we say. And when we take the time to say, okay, God, I want your plan for this situation. Obviously, God had the plan that would destroy Jericho. And God said, I want you to look up and see this. I already know what's going to happen. And I've already given Jericho to you. This is like, I love Romans 4:17, one of my favorite verses, that you call that thing that be not as
right.
if it already were, as if it's already happened when you haven't seen it happen
right.
yet, but God's told you it's going to happen, so you're going to choose to believe that it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. As we've made reference to, God has given me a gift of writing poetry.
Right.
And when I was going through some counseling and things like that, He was giving me lots of poetry for me.
Right.
But then all of a sudden He started promising me and said, there's going to be a book.
Right.
I'm like, okay, fine. There's going to be a book. Okay. And then as I start seeing it, kind of starting, okay, now it's time to move forward and start working on that book.
Right.
And I can see where it can be something used to help many, many other people deal
right.
with some of the things I dealt with. But that was at the very beginning. It's like, you say what? You know, but He takes things, what He promises us, He'll give us. And
exactly.
In fact, that goes with a lot of things in the Word. We're promised a lot of things in the Word, but we don't take the gift.
No. A lot of times we just don't obey,
don't step
out in faith,
right.
and don't grab it, you know, the way He wants us to. I mean, and Joshua had to. And these are huge lessons, aren't they?
They are huge.
They're huge lessons for being a harvest hand in this end times. It has everything to do with stepping out in faith.
In faith.
And listening to God and trusting Him when maybe in our own thinking, this doesn't seem like a very good plan, you know?
Or not understandable plan.
Right, exactly.
You know, the Lord's been leading me and doing some things that you know. And I'm like, that, I don't understand that, Lord.
Right.
You know, and I did. And like yesterday's lesson was simply obedience.
Right.
What he had me do is simple obedience.
But by the time you obeyed in that situation, you understood.
Then I understood.
Right.
When I started, I'm like, okay, fine. Okay. You know, you're kind of reaching the point.
Right.
Okay. Well,
but
we'll
isn't it, it's got to be this way, even with Joshua.
Right.
But he had that encounter with God,
yes,
a personal revelation from Jesus Christ that gave him the courage to say, okay, whatever you want, that's where we're going with it. And Carol, I want you to weigh in on this. How are you, girl from Georgia?
Carol from Georgia, just fine. How are you?
Just great. I tell you what. Thanks, Nan, for sharing. That was great. Carol, it's been a wild day at Beacon of Hope today. And honestly, what we lived this morning in the service was very much a step of faith and obedience and going with the flow of what God was doing, doing the songs that he was putting on our hearts, and then just moving forward and in ministry to people. And it was wild. It was great.
Yeah, I've been there on some of those wild and hairy days.
Yes, you have.
You know, and it's a remarkable part of being in a celebration of Jesus, because as you know, and I know, and certainly Nan knows, after today especially, everybody, that when the Holy Spirit begins his movement, because the people are seeking, the congregation seeking his movement, you're calling his movement into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And when he feels invited in, he comes in such a powerful way. Lives are changed. Hearts are changed.
Exactly.
Circumstances are explained, and people gain wisdom and courage and strength, and the attitude of, I can do.
Yes.
I'm not going to let a pitfall bring me back down.
Right.
I have a strong family here behind
mm-hmm.
me. I have the Lord Jesus Christ, God and the Holy Spirit. How can you fail?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's that, you know, that really carries across here to the story of Jericho, because honestly, I don't know if there would have been this kind of huge success without the encounter that Joshua had with God Almighty that reassured him that God was on his team and everything was going to be okay.
Yeah. You know, and Jericho was such a unique place. I mean,
yeah.
I know you spoke about it earlier. It was an oasis, and we all know what an oasis is.
Yes.
You know, it was a city of palms.
Right.
It was well supplied with water.
Mm-hmm.
Rainwater, and it was a very important place
right
in the desert at that time where they were, and
mm-hmm.
people wanted it. You know, nobody wanted to, the armies and things there didn't want anybody to have control over to take it. They were
right.
greedy, and they wanted to keep all of that to themselves. God doesn't operate that way.
Right.
And I find it very interesting, as I'm sure the two of you do, that it was 7 days mm-hmm. that they went around and chanted.
That's right.
And, you know, just didn't say a word until the seventh day.
Right. They didn't say a word.
When it was all called down.
Right.
And they had 7 people out blowing the horns, 7 men blowing the ram's horns. A ram,
yep.
you know, is a male sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and 7 is the number, God's number. It's the number of rest and completion.
Yeah.
You know,
7 priests, 7 days.
Right.
You know, that wasn't an accident.
No, it's not an accident. It is not. God had a divine plan. And, you know, when we make this personal to our personal lives, somebody out there may be saying, well, I don't see how Jericho, the story of Jericho applies to me. It applies to each of us because it is, again, the story of obedience.
Exactly.
The story of just doing yeah. what God says, even if it doesn't seem to make much sense to us.
Yeah, you just read my mind, because I know that there are times, and you and I have spoken intentionally about these times, when God lays something on our hearts or to someone that we're ministering to and with, and the people look at you and go, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Or we go and say, that just really doesn't make sense. God, are you really in the picture? You want me mm-hmm. to do what?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to be faithful and obedient? Wow. And what's going to happen when I do? Mountains will move.
Exactly.
Cities will crumble.
Exactly.
And angels will fly everywhere.
And you hit the nail on the head there, Carol. Faithfulness and obedience. And they go hand in hand. Faithfulness, and obedience.
And remember Rahab?
Yes.
Talk about a faithful person, the prostitute.
Right.
And, you know, the messengers came to her earlier on.
Exactly.
And told her to be faithful and to obey.
Right.
And these things would be given to her, a prostitute.
Joshua chapter 2. Yes.
People.
Yes, he can.
He saves people.
Amen.
And she had the forethought and the faith to take those two messengers in, never say a word to anybody about them being there.
Right.
And all in her house she had been promised. Her mama and daddy and all the people that meant something to her in her home would be saved.
Exactly.
And that's what happened.
But she had to carry out what God was placing in her heart. When those
right.
spies, that's in Joshua chapter 2 that you're referencing.
That's right. We're looking at it.
Yeah, and when those spies went, you know, she took them into her home and hid them and
yep.
kept them safe, which absolutely was and the key to the victory here too. And you know, just doing that, she put a scarlet thread out of her wall, which is symbolic of the blood of Jesus, by the
yep.
way. And so there you have again, Carol, the obedience of one of these patriarchs. In fact, Jesus came through the line of Rahab, which is very
mm-hmm.
interesting. And Rahab was not originally an Israelite. She was not a Jew, but she was in the line of the Messiah, which says
you know,
a lot for God.
You know what I think God is telling us right now?
What's that?
And coming from Joshua 2, 12 through 14.
Go ahead.
Save your life. Save your life and do it by being obedient, seek wisdom, seek a deeper position of faith with God.
Right.
And hear what he's saying. It may be at first a little tiny thought that just permeates your gray matter.
Right.
It might be a tug on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally it will become a shout in your ear. Do what I tell you to do. Be obedient to me.
That's it.
Dedicate your life to me.
Carol, that is exactly what God is saying and has been saying for the last few weeks at Beacon of Hope, and he's saying it stronger, it seems like, every service lately, that it is all about obedience and it's all about humility. And when we started here with Joshua, face down on the ground before Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, there he is, face down, and he is absolutely worshiping God Almighty. And when we get into a position of worship, and that is so critical, and really, Carol, that is what I wish you and Maxine could have been with us this morning. That is what happened at Beacon of Hope this morning, as true, intense praise and then worship began to flow. Then when we have that encounter with God, and it is life changing. It simply is life changing.
It is definitely life changing. And you know, Pastor, I've been around so many people, as have you, who say, I don't need to change my life. I'm living good.
Yeah.
I'm living, you know, I drive a nice car. I live in a nice home or
mm-hmm.
a condo or an apartment. Look, I'm doing what I want to do in life. I don't have time for this spiritual, God-filled, I mean, who is he really after all?
Mm-hmm.
We
yes.
hear those.
We do.
And, you know, and he doesn't like that. He doesn't like for us to be pompous and self-built and always arrogant, because then we become rebellious and we become very self-centered and think that we are the ones that provide what we have.
Right.
You know, people who defy God put themselves above God, and that is not going to happen.
Exactly. And it's all about submission. It's all about humility. It's all about obedience. And when we're walking like that, we can then be a harvest hand. When
That's
we
true.
Have, we put ourselves in a position to have encounters with God. And, you know, that's the importance of being in a worship service where the Spirit of God is moving so mightily. There wasn't one person that was not affected in some way today by that service. I mean,
yeah.
It was powerful. Therefore, we put ourselves in a position to be affected by the presence of Almighty God, to not just go about our lives, business as usual, playing golf or whatever, when we can have a life-changing experience. And that's what happened to Joshua. Here.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the love of God is not enough because temptations are greater.
Yeah.
We let those temptations,
yeah,
whatever they might be, a rebellion, an ungodly behavior, illicit activities, you know, doing things that the law says you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
Greed and the power of promising that you're going to have a great power. Somebody tells you that, look, you come into my office and you work for me and you're going to be a powerful individual. I promise you that. In Galatians 6:7, we're told, you reap what you sow.
Yeah, that's true.
And we want to reap a good harvest.
Amen.
We want to have the harvest hands involved in God's work.
Amen.
We want them to come to church and do what God says. Be obedient. Get wisdom. Seek strength. Seek justice. Seek me. Reap what you sow.
Exactly.
And that way we can, therefore, become more powerful for
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
He can use us in different ways when we open our hearts and our minds and say, God, open our hearts and minds to you. Tell us where to go. Tell us what to do. How can we serve you? And I know through your teaching and your preaching at Beacon of Hope, that is the message being given
Absolutely.
To people
That's
on
it.
A daily basis. I know at Beacon of Hope, nobody gets beaten up for anything.
No. No,
and
it's a matter
of... God is not a beating up. From your lips, it is not a beating up. It is a seeking, a teaching, and saying, you can have. And I know you've held up that Bible so many times with that crooked finger, and I've heard you say so many times, you can have all these promises in
right.
here.
That's
if
right.
you seek first the kingdom of God
Amen.
And let him rule your life, and you live for him.
Yep, that's what it's all about, Carol. And that's exactly where Joshua was coming from. Joshua was one of those out there on the front lines, you know?
Yeah.
And, well, this just is a perfect segue into this song. And I know you didn't even know this. We were going to use this song. Casting Crowns, Love Them Like Jesus.
The love of her life is drifting away. They're losing the fight for another day. The life that she's known is falling apart. A fatherless home, a child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words, you're trying to make sense of it all. She's desperate for hope, darkness clouding her view. She's looking to you. Just love her like Jesus, carry her to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that he loves. Stay by her side, love her like Jesus, love her like Jesus. The gifts lie in wait in a room painted blue. A little blessing from heaven would be there soon. Night, blue skies turn to gray as a little one slips away. You're holding their hand, you're straining for words, you're trying to make sense of it all. They're desperate.
Praise God. Woo! I feel this radio show's taking a different direction.
I think it is, and I told you as we talked about before you got to the station.
Mm-hmm. Carol, I don't think we're going on with the Jericho story. Oh, that's a powerful story. And the walls did fall flat as Joshua and the warriors and the priests marched around once a day for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day. But I believe in this end time, people have got to realize that God is calling a people out who will love others like Jesus.
That's right.
That they will fall. The people that are harvest hands have got to have this encounter like Joshua did with Jesus there on the banks of Jericho. The people that God is calling out to be a part of this end time move of God, this harvest hand move of God in the end times, they've got to have encounters with Jesus. Because if you don't have encounters with Jesus, all you have is stuff that somebody else has said. It's
That's right.
not real. It's not coming from your heart.
And he wants us to have
that's
encounters.
It.
He places encounters in front of us all the time. You know, if you are like Jesus, if you truly want to be the harvest hands and bring in the harvest, which are people and their souls, to him, you can't be vengeful and you can't
no.
be revengeful.
You can't be.
You got to be forgiving.
Got to be forgiving.
And we are forgiven as we
right.
forgive others.
Right.
I have a short story. At least I'll try to keep it short, less than 2.5 hours.
That's good.
That's a joke, guys.
Okay.
there was this young man whose name was Ben. And when I had my ranch, Ben stole me blind. And I knew he was. I mean, it was proven. I mean, you go out and you have X number of animals, and you go back an hour later, or you come back from town, and you've got none. It's rather obvious.
You came back and there were none there?
Me as well.
Yeah, wait a minute, Carol. You came back and there were none of your animals there?
No animals. I went to work that day, came back, no
animals. That's a bad day, guys. That's a bad day, Carol.
85 head of goats were gone.
Golly!
Three horses, four cows.
You wondered who opened the gate, right?
Chickens and ducks and things. Everything.
Did you think you had driven to the wrong farm?
I walked on that land and it was so quiet. And nobody came to meet me, and I said, this is not a good day.
Carol, that's funny stuff.
It's
I don't
true.
Think I've ever
and
heard
so
this
I
story.
Knew immediately who had done it. His earmark was on it.
Was it? Golly.
Yes, it was. You know, the boy didn't like to work, and he liked money, but working was an aversion to him.
Okay. So he steals you blind.
Stealing was his diversion. Mm-hmm. It kept him from going to the face of God and saying, could you help me? Would you help me?
Instead, he just stole.
Could I find a job? Could if I give my life to you, would you do something with me that's productive? Would you make me into the man that you want me to be? That was his, you know, so stealing was his diversion.
Stealing. Mm-hmm.
From being a good boy. So
yeah.
Long story short, things ended up very badly. And he had all of my things. And so things ended up very badly for him. And
I take it you went to the police.
I decided at that point in my life that I just would like to choke his little ears off of him if I ever ran into him again. So now we flip about, well, I don't know, 8 or 10 years later.
Wait a minute. Did you get any of your stuff back?
A little bit of it, yeah. You can't get back what's been sold and slaughtered. You know, that's a little hard.
Okay.
So, anyway, about 10 years after that, I was a deacon in a church. And I greet everybody as they come in. It's always been a standard practice of mine. So I looked up and, so help me goodness, there he comes.
The thief.
And the thought, pinch his ears off.
Pinch his ears off. Pinch his ears off.
In my natural, I wanted to pinch his ears off.
Do you think that was God talking to you? Pinch his ears off.
And in the process of when that event occurred, and 10 years later, I had become a deacon.
Okay.
Dedicated my life to Jesus Christ and said,
you are done pinching ears off?
Oh, never pinched another ear to save myself. Never,
all right.
ever.
Mm-hmm.
No, no. So as he approached me, I had that thought, pinch his ears off. And then I felt, Well, that's not the right thing to do.
Right.
What am I going to do? And then I, you know, forgive as you want to be forgiven. And I looked at him and I thought, you think I'm going to pinch your ears off because that was my last conversation with you. Beware running into me. You will be earless when you do.
Oh,
so he looked at me
and
startled him. I'm in my, you know, my collar, my shirt, everything.
And he didn't expect to see you in church.
He did not know what to do. So he stopped. And I could tell he had that, you know, that flight look in his eyes, like the deer in the headlights.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, my stars, I've seen a ghost. And it's a ghost of ear pinching. So in that process, I stopped and I looked at him and I walked toward him, not in a haughty way, but in a very calm way. And I said, Ben, it is so good to see you. Welcome to the house of God. I'm glad to see you here.
Oh, my.
And he looked, he pulled back and I hugged him. And he pulled back and he looked at me and he said, I have missed you.
Hmm.
And I said, well, by God's grace, we're here together today. And I hugged him, and nothing was ever said about anything. I never brought it up to him. He started at one time later on, and two or three weeks later, to say something, and I put my hand up, and I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ, and I don't know what
you're talking about. So he never admitted that he stole all of your animals?
He knew he did. He said he did, and that's what he was trying to tell me. And he said, I want you to know, and I said, no. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. So you truly had forgiven him at that point.
Yes. And I really liked him after that. I thought, doggone, he's kind of, he's really cute, you know. And just was, there was a sadness to him. And as later as he began to come to church, he sat down with me one day and he said, I have such a deep sadness. I said, go to that altar. After everybody leaves tonight, you know, while people are still in the parking lot, go up to that altar, and you tell God, whatever it is, Ben, that
praise
is bothering
God.
You.
Yeah.
And speak to him and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And don't just listen tonight. Listen for all the nights of your life and say, Lord, make me a new person.
Right.
Put a new way, a new step in my life, and put a song of praise in my heart for
Amen.
You. Let my lips always
Amen.
Profess you, first and foremost. And I said, if you will do that, everything that you have done will be erased.
Amen. And he could keep his ears that way.
Yeah, he had his ears. Last time I saw him, he had a shock of just jet black hair.
Yeah.
He had a real nice haircut, and his ears were still there.
They
I
were
looked.
Still there. Golly. Carol, you know what you're talking about. It's funny. I mean, we're laughing because of the way you tell these stories, which you are famous for those stories. But they're real life experiences. And when you have a situation in your life where somebody has done you wrong, stolen your goats and your chickens and
yeah.
all that stuff. Yeah, all of those.
Even my bunny rabbits.
And your bunny rabbits. When somebody has done you wrong, whatever that may be, and they've stolen, even if it's just they stole your peace,
yes.
they stole your joy. You know, maybe they abused you verbally and not what happened to you by stealing your animals. But whatever the hurt is, only God can get in there and heal that hurt, and he does it by us forgiving the perpetrator, you know?
And he does it.
He does it that way.
It's a new song in our heart.
Yes, he does. He really does.
The song said, love her.
Yes.
We have to love as Jesus, because when I faced that young man face to face, I knew in my heart from 10 or 12 years before that, if I ever ran into him again, woe be unto his ears.
Yes.
But when I faced him 10 to 12 years later, and my heart had been changed
yes.
toward him,
yes.
there was a new song. And so I sang the song that Jesus wanted me to sing.
Woo!
Was love him, love him, love him through me. Love him because of me. And Carol, if you do that, you have done what I have asked you to do.
Amen. And that is what it's all about
for me.
Carol, it's those kind of moments, you know, like Joshua experienced here with Jesus on the banks of the Jericho before he went to conquer that city. you know, these situations like that. I mean, we're laughing because I didn't know you were going to tell that story. Of course, you and I, we never know what we're going to do on this show. But I certainly have, all the times that I've sat in your beautiful home and we have talked and you've told me funny, funny stories. I've never heard that one. And I did not know that you were about to pinch somebody's ears off ever.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah, she says it so emphatically. But the truth is that we have all had situations, maybe not with our farm animals, but we've had situations where we have been so profoundly hurt, so profoundly taken advantage of, or talked about, gossiped about, or maligned, been maligned or abused in some form. And I tell you, we do a lot of counseling at Beacon of Hope, Carol, and you used to be a part of our counseling team, and you know that most people that come in for counseling have been abused in some way.
Yeah.
It is such a common thing in this day and age, you know,
and
whether
you know,
it's verbal or
your joy, whatever it is.
Exactly. Exactly.
The world. I'm not talking about the people who actually belong to Jesus and recognize it, and
mm-hmm.
he calls them by name and has his hand on their shoulder. People want to steal your joy. And if your joy is in trying to be a good person or trying to overcome an addiction of some time, like alcohol, drugs, or whatever it might be, or gambling, or whatever, he wants to come in and take those things away from you. The joy that you find when you, I spoke to someone earlier, when you find that you're okay. You think, I've got this thing busted. I'm okay with it. And then you drive down the road and you see what it is that normally would take you away from the world of God and put you in that den of iniquity.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things that people in the world want you to do.
Right. Exactly.
It's hard. You know.
It's hard.
And I know Nan knows. It's hard to be a child of God.
Exactly.
Because you've got to realize that temptation is from
the temptation
devil.
Is always there. It is there on a daily basis. There's temptation to not get up and get to church. There's temptation to not do the right thing, whatever that situation was. I mean, Carol, you know, as you running into Ben that many years later, it was probably a temptation somewhere there to say, wait a minute, let me give you a piece of my mind for stealing all my stuff, you know?
Oh, in that half second before I approached him, you will never know what the battle was in my mind.
I would imagine. That's your human, you know?
You know, I mean, I looked at that young man and I thought, I had all kinds of thoughts about him. You know, you stole money from me. You stole property from me. Went in the closet and stole my shirts.
Oh, my heavens. Not
you
just
know?
Your sheep and your goats and your bunnies.
Walking around in a too tight shirt just won't get it.
Wow. Okay. So this is a very good example to our listening audience of the things in life where people take advantage of us. A lot of times they're our very spouse. They're people that we live with that mistreat us, that talk down to us, that are whatever, and rude. I can't say it. Anyway, all of those things that happen in our lives. But here it is, the key. As a harvest hand in the end times, when we have fresh encounters with the living God, we know how to handle those situations when they come to us. And we know when to take a stand. And we know when to say, wait a minute, no, enough already.
Yes.
I'm not going to allow you to treat me like that. You know?
You know, it is a strong faith in God that allows us to do that, to put our hand up and say, excuse me, talk to the hand, because I'm not listening to you.
That's right.
I do not hear your nastiness beyond where my hand goes.
Wow.
Because from the backside of my hand to my body, it's encased in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything facing you is from the world.
Absolutely.
So you better fall down now and ask for forgiveness from him, not me.
Right, but from God. And,
him.
You know, we're good, Carol, I'll give you a second in a minute to get over to Galatians chapter 5 on the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. As I said, we're just changing up what God is doing here. I feel like he is really trying to send a strong message here today. And probably back in 1 John also, but I'm not sure yet where we're going there. But let's just for a second here before we come back and discuss this more. Let's just remember that if any of you out there are needing prayer for any reason, Beacon of Hope has a prayer line that is manned 24/7 by email, and it is fantastic. And we have huge prayer answers that are happening on a daily basis. We had praise reports this morning, people getting jobs, things turning around in their lives, all because people care enough to pray. And that's what it's all about. If you have a prayer need, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. That's the beauty of email. You can write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Send your request. It will be sent to the prayer team for prayer, and you can be a part of that prayer team again by writing prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and asking to be put on the prayer team. We do have the internet up right now, and Nan is sitting beside it. And if you want to ask a question or comment on the things we're talking about and or the music, you can do that today by simply writing me personally. It's going to come up here on the screen. My email is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
And while you're saying all of that about the prayers and the needs of the people being met through prayer,
yes,
if the people who have received a healing, a blessing, a joyous news, if they would please write back to the Beacon of
Prayer,
Beacon of Hope Ministry, that is one of the things that we really like to do.
Get a praise report.
Say, look, this was a dire situation. We prayed about it whenever, yesterday or whenever, and look what the result of it is.
Absolutely.
God is moving in the lives of his people.
Absolutely. We do want to hear those praise reports. Thank you for reminding me of that. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. And we so appreciate all those stations where we are live right this moment. And it's good to be on the air, not just in the Tampa Bay area, but globally on the internet at TanTalk1340.com. Bill.
The Beacon of Hope Ministries has the whole wide world in their hands.
Woo, how about that?
Yes,
hey,
we do. Thank you, Bill. We have it in our hands because we are receptors to the word of Jesus Christ. And he says, pray for my people, hear my people, act with my people. And those are the harvest hands that I know for 6 years. Beacon of Hope has been saying, bring us harvest hands. God, we're ready.
Exactly. Amen. And we're going to talk more about this in a minute. Carol, just stay with us. Nan, I got a question to ask you. What's happening next weekend at Beacon of Hope?
Next weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, we are going to have an absolutely awesome time next weekend. We're having a praise and worship time where people can just come Friday night and share a song, sing a poem or something they've written, whatever they feel.
Right.
It's going to be open for anyone who's there who wants to do it. Just let you guys know. Sunday is going to be totally awesome.
Yes,
you and I were talking
is.
Today about how it seems like each Sunday
right.
is getting such a greater anointing and just fantastic
intensity.
Things happening. Each Sunday is getting better and better. I can't wait to get next Sunday because I know it is going to be totally, totally, totally awesome.
Oh, it really
it's
going to
be
is.
Fantastic.
It just the
I mean,
it's like
the Lord's been, if you will, preparing us
yes.
to be able to come together and celebrate 10 years of Beacon being organized church for his glory.
Amen. And we're going to have a family dinner right after that, carrying style.
We get to eat, too.
We get to eat. How we love to eat.
Well, we get to feast on the Spirit of the Lord during the service.
Yes,
and
we
then
do.
Feast on food with food afterwards.
Bill.
Also remind what happened, a special moment last week.
Yes, my daughter Lori came on the air, did she not? Yes. It was great to have her on, and she'll be on again here soon. She's been out of prison 3 weeks tomorrow, and it's pretty cool what God is doing in her. Yes. That Bill and his applesauce there, man, that's great. And no, Lori's doing great. She's probably listening to the show right now. And God is just doing a wonderful thing in her. And there are so many answers to prayer, Carol. You said it. 10 years as a ministry, Carol. And you've been part for about 6, I believe. Is that about right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Amazing,
no,
isn't it?
Even though we're not in Florida, we are still in our hearts and other ways, we are still a big part of Beacon of Hope.
Yes, you know,
when we speak to people up here and they say, where do you attend church? And we say, our church is Beacon of Hope.
Yeah.
Well, where is that? I said, go on the internet and hear the radio shows and these, read, you know, hear the archives. And when people do, and there have been people who've done that, and they said, oh my goodness, that is a powerful word. And I said, it is, because our pastor is totally ordained in the Spirit of God. And the people that serve there in music and any other way as ushers or whatever it is that they serve, it's because they are being spiritually and physically fed the Word of God, which is life-changing.
Amen. That's what it's all about, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. Wow. So, Carol, Friday night, we're having one of those praise celebrations like we used to have when we were over in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
And where people are going to sing, and it's just going to be great. And, I mean, it'll be a powerful service Friday night, 7 o'clock at 3700 Almerton Road, right behind Five Guys, easy to find. And it's going to be fun. Bill, that'd be a great night for you to come. All music.
When was it?
Friday night, 7 o'clock.
Friday night at 7 o'clock this Friday night?
This Friday night. It's going to be powerful. And then Sunday morning at 10. And then next Sunday, we're going to have a special radio show here to celebrate the 10 years. So it was 10 years. And it's interesting because on Thursday night, a couple nights ago, I was teaching our Faithful Leaders class at Beacon. And there's about a dozen leaders in that class. And I don't know how we got onto this. I'm teaching the book of Nehemiah, but I asked somebody to go get the picture of my living room where the first service for Beacon of Hope was held. And it was held in my living room on September the 29th of 2001, shortly after the 9/11 catastrophe. And a couple weeks later, and we all realized almost simultaneously Thursday night, Carol, that as I was showing the picture to them, that was September 29th, Thursday night. So it was exactly 10 years to that day. A couple days ago was the first service of Beacon of Hope. So that's kind of exciting. It's all good. And God is just doing some mighty things. So we have got a great song here. And I asked Connie to put this on. It is one of my favorites. But more importantly, it is my daughter Lori's, one of her very favorite songs. And I know it is the cry of her heart. People Need the Lord by Avalon.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go.
Praise God. What a great song. Oh, I love it. Bill, I think we're going to use that at the end again, probably. All right. So today you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. In the studio with me is Nan. She's on our radio team. And Carol is up in Georgia. You're also on our radio team and a blessing. And Carol, this show has taken a different turn, but people do need the Lord. They need him in a powerful way, and God is trying to get through to his people so that they will realize that they are needed in the end time harvest. They are needed, and in order to be the vessel that God has ordained that he wants us to be. Let's go to Galatians 5 and look at verse 22. And in the NIV, which I have right here in my cute little green Bible, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Now, in order to be a harvest hand, we have got to absolutely rid ourselves from pride, from stubbornness, from know-it-all behavior, from acting like we've got all the answers for people, because what they need is the Lord. It's really very simple, and God showed us all of these characteristics in the person of Jesus when he was here on this earth. Love and joy and peace and patience and all these. Carol, what can we say to those out there that say, I want God to use me, but I'm not sure if I'm able or capable to be used by God in light of this Galatians 5:22? Because these right here, this is the prescription to be useful in the kingdom of God. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, first of all, we have to have a willing heart.
There
we
you
have
go.
To recognize that this world and the all of the pretty little bubbles and the pretty little details that make Las Vegas look great and make other places in the world such as that look absolutely wonderful, that we can get what we want by greed and cheating and thieving and stealing from somebody else, or that we can put our neighbors, friends, business people down, when we realize that's not what it's all about.
Right.
And we will pay dearly for those kinds of things.
Yes.
People, it will cost their immortal life, whether they believe it right now or whether they don't. You know, God is in heaven, and he's down here below on earth as well. Not a minute of your mind, your thoughts, your actions, your deeds go unnoticed.
Right.
Not one. That's
right.
A scary fact. So when you're having these illicit
right.
Attitudes and thoughts and pompous attitudes, you need to stop and say, God, wait a minute. All of this can be taken from me in less than the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize it. I want my life to be eternal. I want to see the good things that I keep hearing from the time I was a young child in church or at family gatherings, and people were talking about the good things. I want to be a part of that. Show me how I do it. How do I get rid of the spirit of envy or jealousy?
Right.
How do I get rid of strife in my life? How do I keep getting rid of how I put other people down to make myself look big?
Uh-huh.
None
yes.
of that is of God. It is all of man's doing on earth. It is all of Satan's doing and the guiding of the people who follow him.
But Carol,
and the immorality that he throws out there for them.
Exactly.
And the promises. Hey, you listen to me, man. I can put you in that Corvette.
Yeah.
Or you listen to me. I can give you that wonderful little trip to Mexico where you can kick back in the sun and so forth. But when you listen to the words of God and you accept the fruit of the Spirit into your heart, what a joy it is. You feel like somebody took a Brillo pad and some Comet and went from your mouth all the way down your digestive.
Cleaned you up.
Scrubbed you clean.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you find one of the earliest recollections for me when those processors are going through me quite many years ago, I was driving, and this was so profound to me. I was at my job, and I had to drive to where some of my students were, and I had a short period of time, and I had taken two or three phone calls in from other my bosses and so forth, and I looked at my watch. I'm going, oh, my stars and guards, I'm going to be late. So I jump in the car, and off I go. And don't you know that every slowpoke in the world got in front of me?
Of course.
And don't you know that I told them that they were not nice people?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when I got ready to really blast somebody,
right,
I had this spirit of Holy Spirit come over me and say, what are you doing?
Right, exactly.
What are you doing?
Right.
And I felt at that moment that I didn't have the right to call them what their mother had not named them.
Right, exactly. And so often, that's the kind of a wake-up call the Holy Spirit gives us in a situation where we learn firsthand, wait a minute, that behavior is not of God, and I need to repent of those attitudes and ask God to clean me up and forgive me for the attitude of my heart. And because only then can God really use us. And this goes right back to Joshua's encounter with Jesus on the banks of Jericho. Because
yeah.
It's then Jesus said to him, you're standing on holy ground. Why is it holy? It was holy because God was doing a work of holiness in Joshua right that moment, I believe, when he was face down before Jesus and worshiping God. God was cleaning him up. He was doing some stuff in him. And from that moment on, Joshua went forward around Jericho. You have that victory. You have all the victories of the conquests in Canaan. But it really started with this encounter, this amazing encounter with God. And that's what we each need to have if we're going to walk in this love and joy and peace and patience and all of it. It takes that encounter, Carol. It takes that time. And it really does for us to even realize people need the Lord. You know, a lot of times we know it in our head, but we don't feel it in our heart.
And I think something about holy ground. I have a real reverence for holy ground.
Yes.
And having stood behind the table and served communion more times than I can remember and count,
right, sure.
I have a real reverence for the holy ground.
Right.
And I think so often people enter into church, maybe they're a guest of somebody, or however they wander in the door, if they felt they were sent by the Holy Spirit and they want to show the Holy Spirit, look, I'm going, but you can't do anything with me, I'm telling you right now. And those are the ones that fall the hardest and lay there the longest. But you know, to come into God's house and do it with reverence, speak kindly to each other, greet each other with a holy kiss and a hug, and speak kindly to each other.
Exactly.
You don't sit in the corner by yourself and act provoked and act like a stuffed olive. You participate.
A stuffed olive?
You take part in the holiness that is taking place there.
Amen.
You know, you put yourself out there and say, God, let me be an example to somebody else today how to get through the bad times, how to enjoy the good times.
Exactly.
The best way to teach people is to be an example.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when that ground is, you know, when you call the Holy Spirit to come in,
yes,
and you ask God to open the table and teach the word,
right,
you're standing on holy ground.
You certainly are.
Wherever it is. If it's two people underneath a tree.
Yes. But when
God says, you know, where two or more of you are
gathered
in my name, so shall I also be.
Exactly.
If that's the case, that's the church. That's holy ground.
Because you just said the right word. When you invite God to come in and do the work he wants to do, and we do that as far as each service, of course. God, get your work done, what you want done today.
Yep.
And when we individually start our day, God, do the work in me and through me today that you want done. Put the right people in my path. Open the doors of opportunity that you want open. And I am going to do my best to walk in wait a minute. I'm going to read them again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I mean, this is what it's all about. It's just, let me read them in the Message Bible, and then you can comment on that, Carol. What happens when we live God's way? This is verse 22 of Galatians 5. He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Isn't that beautiful?
It definitely is. And, you know, I'm going to refer to the book of Haggai really quickly on all of this, because the theme of Haggai is the restoration of the Lord's house by the people of God to mediate God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go back to that book and we start looking, and as well as Galatians and as well as what we've been studying in Joshua today, it is, you know, the key themes that we find in that resound throughout Scripture. Even in the spirits, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the restoration of God's house. When God's house is torn apart, torn asunder by slander, by jealousy, by I'm not giving a tithe because I think they just paid the light bill with it. When those kinds of statements are made, we need to restore, through the Word of God, God's house, through the people who are helping hands. If they see a division coming in God's house, everybody should drop to their knees right there and start praying for that division to be healed, that chasm to be filled and filled with the Holy Spirit and the
exactly.
Spirit of God.
Exactly.
And then when we get to the prophetic word that is the divine word, it is holy, it is truth, it is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we declare that before God, it will be so. It will be so in our churches. It will be so in our helping hands. People will want to come forward and say, I never looked at it that way, Pastor. I want to come forward, although I don't know what my talents are. I want you and through the Word of God to help me understand. And then we take them to the book of Galatians and we show them the Holy Spirit. We take them to Ephesians and show them the armament of God to keep them from becoming opposite of what God truly wants them to do. And we show them through the love that we profess
exactly.
and the love we put outside the church as well, that the Lord is indeed sovereign.
Woo, that's
and
exactly
that we,
right.
You know, that he is sovereign, that he is what we're all about.
Right.
And the people must work. That's the one thing. You can't sit on your own church, on your little tiny behindy, and not do God's work.
Exactly.
Because the more you get involved, the more you want to be involved, the more you feel your spirit getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, the more you want to be around those people, the more you open your arms up and go and say, Pastor, now that I have mastered cleaning toilets, what would you want me to do today?
That's exactly right, Carol.
You know, and show me what you as the leader of my church, as the emissary from Christ teaching us, what do you think we should be doing? Oh, you want to go to a nursing home where those old people are? Those old sick people where the places
Boy.
Are just, you know, oh, they're just dreary. And you say, yes, I do, and I want to take the Word of God, and I want to sing songs of praise, and I want to lift holy hands.
Right.
And say, these are your people, God. We're here. We are here to minister to them because we're willing, helping hands.
That's exactly right. And we're born for this opportunity in this moment in time. Listen to this song. It's the story of Esther, Born for This by Mandisa.
your tongue, time to keep your head down. There's a time, but it's not now. Sometimes you gotta go.
Wow, that's a powerful song. I have never heard that, but it is so true. You are born for this. Dear ones out there in radio land, does God have a call on your life? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Does God have a call on your life? Does God have something he wants you to accomplish while you are still here on this earth? Is there something he is trying to say to you today? Does he want you to have a fresh encounter with him in a powerful way that absolutely moves you off a dead center and gets you going in the direction of the calling that God has on your life? Look at these words from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Good friend, don't forget all I've taught you. Take to heart my commands. They'll help you live a long, long time. A long life lived full and well. I'm in verse 3 of Proverbs 3 in the Message Bible. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. What's it say, Nan, right there in the King James? You have it, verse 3.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee.
All right, go on.
Bind them about thy neck. Mm-hmm. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
Exactly. In the Message Bible, verses 3 and 4 says, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. This is how to be an effective harvest hand. So go to verse 5, everybody with me, because this is life-changing, and it goes right along, Carol, with what we're talking about. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. That's talking about your talents, your money, all of it. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. So what is this saying? If you want to be a harvest hand, if you have a calling on your life and God has spoken to you and said, I want to use you, and you go, I don't know what that means. Or, God, how can you use me? I've got this problem and that problem. Verse 5 of Proverbs 3 is so profound. You trust God from the bottom of your heart. You don't try to figure out everything on your own. You listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Carol, comment on this as it pertains to harvest hands in these last days.
Well, I have a little story that demonstrates what love really is.
Okay.
And it's a story of a cat. It's a true story of one of my kittens whose name was Sadie. And Sadie, by design, gave birth to three little kittens. Now, I lived across from a 6,000-acre cornfield. So one day, I missed the kittens. They were getting ready to be weaned, and I missed them. And I couldn't find them. It scared me. I thought a hawk or something had come in and gotten them. And I was very distraught about them, and I finally realized, God, they're in your hands. I can't find them. I don't know where to look. So as the days wore on, 3 days passed. And I guess that's a significant thing. 3 days passed, and pretty soon I hear the faint cry of a kitten. I'm looking around and searching everywhere. I find a kitten. Sadie's bringing the kitten home in her mouth. I cross a clay road, which was pretty busy, and she put that first kitten down. She went back to get the second kitten. And she brought the second kitten the same way. Well, there were three, so she was going to go back, and I saw her just push them like, stay here, children, don't leave. And listen to me, which is what God does to us.
Right.
And then she was started back to get the third kitten, and as she had it in her mouth, here comes kitten number two, back across the road with a car just flying down the road. She dropped the third kitten by the river creek there on the bed of the creek and left it and ran out between the tires of that car, grabbed kitten number two and by the nape of his neck, and she pushed him down, and she popped his little behind with her paws and growled and fussed. He skittered back to where he should have gone, back to my house.
Interesting.
And she went back and got kitten number three. The point of that being, if we don't hear the word of God, we don't recognize the love that that cat had for those three kittens. God loves us enough to treat us like those three kittens. He is the one that loves us. He is the one that sacrificed for us. He is the one that has put his spirit within us. And if we obey, we're the first kitten. If we're the second kitten and we're hard-headed and stubborn and headstrong, we're the second kitten. And he will admonish us. He will call us to task, all the while loving us, just like Sadie did those three kittens.
Wow.
And if we're the third kitten, we know to wait while he deals with someone else's
Boy, that does pertain.
Maybe greater than ours at the moment.
Boy, that does pertain, doesn't it?
And we know that it was love that had her go get those kittens. She took them across there to teach them to hunt in that 6,000-acre field.
Huh.
And to show them the way that they needed to go. Doesn't God do that with us?
Oh, he does.
In our loneliest,
yes,
darkest places?
Yes, he does. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to do the discipline in our lives and clean us up and teach us the things he wants to teach us, then we can become effective harvest hands in this end time. But if like it says right here, don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. I love that.
And you see, it was that mother cat's love for those kittens.
Right.
That took them across the field to teach them what I could not teach them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very good at crawling around in a cornfield with a mouse in my mouth.
You're not? Oh, okay.
No,
I can't picture that. No,
it hurts your knees.
Yeah, it hurts your knees.
You know? But that she loved those kittens enough to do all of that.
That's wow.
And I have used that story several times in my classroom. If I don't love you, if I'm your teacher and I don't love you, I will not go above and beyond to teach you.
Right.
Because I love you, and I'm your teacher, and I love you, and I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, I will do everything I can for you to make you into a good student and a prosperous, productive part of society. While you were doing listening to the song, I flipped over to Habakkuk, and the key theme, as I'm looking here, is that God is just and merciful, even though his people may not always understand his ways.
Exactly.
Chapter 2, verse 4. And the wickedness will eventually be punished, but
right.
the righteous will ultimately see God's justice.
Amen.
And the basic phrase is that the righteous will live by his faith.
They'll live by his faith.
Rising the path of life that God sets for his people. And it's quoted three times in the New Testament, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Each time highlighting a different part of God's measure of love and righteousness for us.
Well, and that's the key to this whole series we've done on Harvest Hands, is that when we love God with all that is within us, then God sees that, like he saw in Joshua there by Jericho, and he says, I can use that one.
That's
I can
right.
use that one who is down on his face before me right now. I can use this one who wants to be used of me, and this one is going to trust me. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for people who will trust him from the bottom of their heart. And I love this in the Message Bible, verse 5 again of Proverbs 3, and not try to figure out everything on our own. We listen for God's voice in everything we do and everywhere we go. And you know Joshua did that, or he would not have had the success at Jericho. In that encounter with God, Joshua got the battle plan. And the battle plan was not a conventional battle plan. It was a battle plan given directly from the Spirit of God, and it was praise. The shouting and praise.
Or in life, have you heard of a siege of a town?
Right.
Or country, and people just walked around saying nothing, and then on the seventh day, they were commanded by their leader, we're going to have ram's horns out here, the priest or the generals or the colonels
right.
or whoever they might be, or the privates, are going, it won't be the generals marching, I can assure you, except to get the glory as they come into New York's ticker tape,
right.
but the people that are out there doing the work, the soldiers,
right.
the soldiers for God, the soldiers for the country, walking around, and seven times, and he says, when we do start the seventh, I will give the command to blow the ram's horns.
Right.
And these walls, I want you yelling at the top of your lungs. And they fall down. Well, excuse me, I haven't read anything in modern times that tell me
never,
that happened.
Never, never. This was a miracle, and it was God's divine plan. Listen to this song by New Song, We Wear His Name.
what have I done? I can't lose my wife and son. Lord, help me, please. He needs to know there's hope, someone to share the load, someone to give the love that sets men free. Someone like you and me, we wear his name, the name above all names, we wear his name. In a world that's lost in hopelessness, we've been called to be the light. We wear his name. When we see those in desperate need, how can we pass them by? Let's not.
Praise God. I love that song. We wear his name. That's the name we wear, Jesus. And that's we right. are able to go into the situations on a daily basis that God gives us to encounter because we wear his name. Praise God. You know, Carol, I'm all the time wearing my my real estate profession. I wear my Charles Ruttenberg Realty shirts, which I love. You know, I love my real estate company. But it's interesting, too, when I have that shirt on. I was in the grocery the other day and somebody saw I had my shirt on and somebody made some comment to me about real estate. And it was interesting. What name do you wear? Do you wear the name of Jesus on a daily basis? Because as a harvest hand, that is what we've got to be. And we wear it by the smile on our face, by the look of love that comes from our eyes, by the pat that we give somebody on the back, or a handshake, or a hug, or a kind word that shows we are wearing that name, the name above every name.
One thing I would like to say at this point is I want to give a big hallelujah to Lori, because I know personally, as well as you do, that through all of her trials and tribulations and ending up in prison was a blessing from God. Lori has a call of God on her life that only she can fulfill. And to
Amen.
Be able to be there to witness to those women, to take them in the most dire circumstances and take the Bible and show them what God really wants from them, that he does love them. They're behind bars. Everybody in society's thrown their hands up and said, they're useless, don't want to be bothered. And yet he places her.
I know, it was powerful.
Places her
20
in
months.
There because he knows her heart.
20
and he
months.
Knows what he's doing with her.
Absolutely.
So hallelujah and praise God.
Absolutely.
That she was there, that she was able to save. You will never know, Lori, till you get to heaven, how many souls you have brought to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through that time you spent there.
I'm hoping to have her back on the radio show again soon. This is powerful, this whole series on Harvest Hands. It has been amazing. We're coming to the conclusion of it today. And starting something new. But and next week, of course, is our anniversary. We're going to go back to People Need the Lord in a few minutes, Bill. Not quite. But Nan, I want you to kind of give some comments here as you've been listening to all of this. And then, Carol, I'm coming back to you for some thoughts, too. But, Nan, you've been hearing all this and you've been living it just like Carol does. So you want to give your insight there?
Been trying to live it.
Yeah.
Accomplished it most of the time through the Lord's help. One thing kind of stands out to me is there again in Proverbs 3, 5, and in King James, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
And being a harvest hand, sometimes it just takes trust.
Yes.
It does take trust.
It does.
To be what he wants you to be and to reach out. You were talking about the shirt that you wear and the real estate company that you work for. You know, what do we wear when people see us? Do we wear Jesus?
Right.
I was reminded of, you know, since there again, the encounter I had with God on September 21st.
First.
Is that my birthday?
Yeah.
September 1st.
September 1st.
That's the time. Thank you. things have not been the same in my life.
Right.
They've been much more positive. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I do try to wear Jesus. So see
right.
people see Jesus. And I'm reminded that once in a while, I don't think I necessarily always meet up. But he'll check my spirits. Like, you know, you were a little curt with her.
Right.
You're supposed to be showing my love to her, but yet you were curt. It's like, mm-hmm. oh. So then I try to figure out some other way to soften it. I mean, it'll happen immediately. When it happens, and I think that's just the Lord with us as
right.
we're moving forward.
Absolutely, teaching us,
like the with kitten number two.
Yeah,
getting a little bit out of line, and Mama taking care of that situation rather quickly.
Right.
And I think that's what the Lord will do with us, is if we're sensitive to His Spirit and really want to allow Jesus to be seen in our lives,
Amen.
Which is what it's all about.
Amen. Thanks for those words, Carol. Back to you.
Well, I have a couple of closing thoughts. Number one, your talents are God's gift to you as an individual, as a Christian, and a person who's seeking to be a Christian. And what you do with your talents are your gifts to God.
Right.
He gave them to you for a purpose. It wasn't to receive the accolades of your adoring public. It was to be able to become the harvest hand, to bring other people into Him and to help Him glorify them in His word, in His name.
Right.
And the next one is comes from John 7, the Gospel of John 7:38. The person who believes in me, and that's Jesus speaking, as the scripture said, from their innermost shall flow rivers of living water.
Ooh, amen.
And, you know, and a river that's alive, a river that's flowing, is filled with life, teeming with it.
Exactly.
And it's moving through all of the nation that it covers. And it's the same thing with us. When we fill our hearts with living water, we are alive.
Right.
We're alive in the Spirit and the Word of Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And when we allow that water to move through us, and we, like fish, swim through wherever our homes and life may take us, we take that with us.
Amen.
We are teeming over with the Spirit and the Word and the knowledge and the wisdom that comes from Jesus Christ.
Amen. And it changes us. It changes us. It changes us.
And it changes the world around us.
Amen. Wow. Praise God. People need the Lord.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go. Only Jesus heals.
Praise God. Oh, people need the Lord, and we need to be the harvest hands that God is speaking to in these last days to carry out the work that he has for us to carry out. One last couple seconds comment, Carol, from you, and then one from Nan, and we're going to wrap up here in a minute.
I think what we need to do, and we were talking about what you wear, and you wear your shirt of work.
Yeah.
I think perhaps we can remember that we put on a new wardrobe to face God and to step out into the world. We put on the wardrobe found in Ephesians 6:10 and the armament of God.
Right.
We find ourselves putting on the new coat found in Galatians 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
When we put those coats on and we cloak ourselves in them and we step out into the world, it's the cloak of righteousness.
Amen. Amen. And then we just say, God, use me and he'll open the door. That's
right.
What it's all about.
Sling it wide open, so be ready.
Be ready. Carol, it's always a joy to have you on the show. And you've been a part of our radio team for a long time. God bless you. Thank you for your time today. And Nan, comment here.
I take notes during your teaching, and even on the radio. One note I wanted just to share with is we must have a willing heart.
Yes.
And to be the harvest hands that God wants us to be.
Yes.
And that I think that we really desire to be. I think we have the desire. Sometimes we just, sometimes maybe don't know how to bump along and take care of it, but God will take care of that. God
exactly.
will lead us. As we are obedient.
Absolutely. That's it. That's the key. This has been several weeks of our series on Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God. One of the benefits that our engineer Bill has given this show is the ability for us to archive all these shows. And we've got at least a year, year and a half, well, more than that, on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And all you have to do is go to our website and access the shows. Last week is when the show that my daughter was on with Nathan and with Nan. And if you haven't listened to that, you can go to our website and access that and listen, and let it bless you and tell others about living the good life and, the fact that they can go and listen to the old shows. And for some people who don't regularly go to a church body, it's a good way for them to hear the word, study it, and be inspired by the great music. And Connie always does a great job of picking out our music, and the Holy Spirit always makes sure that the songs just fit right into where we are, which is a real blessing. So for those of you in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come visit us at Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are celebrating our 10th anniversary this coming weekend, actually the whole week. I think it really kind of, there you go. Kind of started today, really, and a whole week-long celebration. Wednesday night, a Bible study, and we're going to do some fun things Wednesday night, a Bible study. And Friday night is going to be a great time at Beacon of Hope. A praise celebration, all music, people sharing what God has done in their lives, and just impromptu, just going to be powerful. We're excited about Friday night at 7 o'clock. At our location, 3700 Almerton. So we've got some talented folks. So come and listen to the music. It's just really going to be great, and the words as people share. Sunday morning's going to be crazy, wild, and wonderful, starting at 10 o'clock at Beacon of Hope Ministries, followed by Family Dinner Day, and then a very special radio show at 4 o'clock here live, as always. God bless you. Have a great week. We always, almost always, close with this song, It's Not Far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister with Carol and Nan, with Engineer Bill saying have a great week, and we'll see you back again next week, 4 o'clock, live on 1340 AM and around the globe on TANTALK1340.com. Have a great week. Contact us, prayers at BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. Remember, God loves you so very much.